Let's turn in the scriptures to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 22. Ephesians 2, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's words. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Those are God's words. And this chapter begins declaring our deplorable condition. Dead. We are dead. And in your deadness, you did what? You only did what dead people do. They follow after their father, the devil. You walked according to the ways of the world, according to Satan. And so our natures were those of children of disobedience, children of wrath, under wrath. But it is only when God, who is rich in mercy, with His great eternal love for us, that even when we were dead in our sins, He made us alive together in Christ. And notice how it begins, the very beginning of the chapter. It says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins," to emphasize to us that we did not make ourselves alive, but we were dead. And it's God who made us alive by His Holy Spirit in regeneration. So we were dead. He made us alive in regeneration by His grace through faith. He saved us. So what? So that what? So that in the ages to come, He, for eternity, He would show the riches of His grace and mercy towards us in Christ Jesus. And all this, that we would not boast in ourselves, but in God alone. Right? If we were able to regenerate or make alive our own hearts, we would rejoice in ourselves. And if it was that we saved ourselves, we would rejoice in ourselves and boast in ourselves. But we cannot, because it's God alone in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who saved us, who quickened us, made us alive, so that then we can believe. There are some who believe that we believe and are saved, are then made alive, quickened, regenerated. But that is so far from making any sense, because we're dead. And it's only by God's making us alive that then we can believe. And so all of His saints in the church believe. And by His grace, we saints were created to walk in good works according to His commandments. And so even this plan from before the foundation of the world, to created to walk in His commandments and do good works. And that goes back to chapter 1 in our election. And then from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, the Lord, through Paul, details more of the meaning behind what has happened to all those who have been saved by the Lord. Because there is, and this he's going to address this in this chapter, chapter 3 and chapter 4. There has been, up until the time of his writing this, a great divide between Jews and Gentiles. But the many Gentiles have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And this all so that they will be found to be one together. Once they were strangers, the Gentiles were strangers in Israel, to Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, even to the covenant of grace, right? Having no hope without God in the world, like many in the world today. But being far off in Christ, we have been brought near. So now you have another illustration. You were dead. Now you've been made alive. God made you alive. And now you are far off. Now He's brought you near. You didn't bring yourself near. He brought you near. It says by His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in Christ we've been brought near by His blood. So that between the Jew and the Gentile, that division that once was is now destroyed in Christ. And so that the rest of chapter 2 then details the great privilege that both Jews and Gentiles have together in Christ Jesus. And so, friends, we have these same privileges today. No different than the Jews, as most of us, or all of us Gentiles, no different than what Paul describes here at the end. And so we can rejoice and hope in the Lord in Christ. And if you are apart from Christ, you need to be made alive in Christ. And the way to know that you've been made alive is to believe. If you haven't believed, believe. Repent of your sins and turn unto Christ today. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You thanks for the good news. That the good news You teach us of how gracious You are and merciful. That You, though we were dead, You made us alive by Your mercy and Your grace, and You granted us the gift of grace and faith, that we would not boast in ourselves, but that we would boast in You, a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who has eternally worked to love us and to capture our hearts and make us even united together with Christ, with all the rest of the saints and the rest of the church. Father, we thank You. We're thankful for making us alive. As the bones, the dead and dry bones, raised up to life. And Father, we're thankful that You cause the bones to stir and to wake up, to become alive, to know of our deplorable condition, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins in ourselves as we followed after the world and Satan in our flesh. But rather, Father, You have made us alive in Christ by His blood. And Father, today we ask for Your help in sanctifying our hearts, encouraging us in Christ Jesus, Your Son, this evening as we study more about Him through the sacraments of the Old Covenant, And Father, we're thankful that You have given us of Your Son, and that He is the final sacrifice. We need no more sacrifice to make ourselves with the many animals burned and the blood drained out and all these things. We need not do those gruesome, horrendous-looking sacrifices that would have smelled terrible because our sin is terrible. But You've given us Your Son out of Your love, and we're thankful for Him. We're thankful for all the ceremonial law done away with, abolished, that we have that which is simple to worship You, that You have commanded, and that we can come to You easily, as You call us even to come boldly, and yet we ought not to come too easily without reverence and fear of You, the living and true God who is all powerful. And so, Father, we pray that we would come standing in awe of You, and yet with great reverence for Your holy name, and yet with great joy because You're the God who receives us and calls us to come boldly, to come often, and come quickly, that we would be heard by You in our prayers, that we would be received by You in Christ Your Son, and that Your name would be praised and worshipped. Father, we ask for Your help today. For we, congregation, are weak. We have weakness amongst us as we continue in our sins. Individuals, families who continue to forsake worship, forsake the assembling together of Your people, Your bride, the glorious bride of Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. And it hurts us to see. It is grievous in our to our hearts. Pray that You would sanctify them and turn them to Yourself. Turn them to come, to commune with Jesus Christ, Your Son, to commune with His bride. There is nothing greater that we will ever experience on earth than the public worship of Your people, as we have that foretaste of eternity. That if we don't desire to be here and make every effort to be here, then why would we ever find joy in heaven, when we will be with You forever and worship You forever? And so, Father, convict our hearts. Cause us to be those who encourage those who have forsaken the assembling together, that they would be here with us, and that their life would be sealed, as we'll hear this evening. And Father, we do pray that You would also be with our congregation to grow us in number. Father, we know that they had a family visit this morning, and yet they believe still in the Jewish way. It seems like they might believe in the ceremonial law, that they ought to abide by that, and even the Jewish Sabbath, which is the Sabbath celebrating the creation of the world on the seventh day, and how You did so in Your mighty power, and yet not exalting in Your Son who is risen from the dead on the first day, in which then all the apostles in the New Testament and all Your disciples gathered together often on the first day of the week, as Christ appeared to Your people on the first day of the week so many times before His ascension. Father, we pray that You would cause them to see their error, though we ask that You would humble us as we plead this, that we would not be so bold as to break the commandment we even heard this morning. So help us, Father. Make us to be those who would guide and shepherd the sheep, especially the elders. Father, we ask that You would be with our nation, the nation that is so wicked and turning from You often, and the citizens which exult in great evils because they've been prodded and encouraged to do so by their national leaders and state leaders and city leaders. Father, we pray that you would turn them from their wickedness, all of them. And you would cause them to turn unto Christ, your Son, for their salvation, for a true happiness and pleasure that is only found in Christ, your Son, and life in Him. And so we pray that even our nation's leaders would covenant with Christ, that they would, instead of exalting and permitting all various religions to be exalted in and worship of various false gods to occur, we pray that all false gods would be put down and destroyed. And that the one true God, you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jehovah, would be exalted alone in this nation. And then, Father, we ask that you would uphold your people under this wicked nation and wicked rulers. That you would grant us wisdom in the days that we need to interact with them. And even now, as we must prepare for what great atrocities might come, even in our hearts, to be guarded. And so we plead that you would grant us the full armor of God against those great temptations of the evil one that will come and is coming all the time. And so save us from the world, from the great temptations and the evil of this day. Father, grant us now your word. Grant us the joy of singing your praise from our hearts, that we would know your grace and your love. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.